Thank you so much for having me and my pup Odessa, or I call her Des or Desi, or in our family her nickname is Tiny, because we are actually a family of Rottweilers, as in our dogs are Rottweilers. So Odessa is very small for us. So I'm here from Hope for Our Children. And thank you for inviting me to talk about it this morning. And of course, I'm going to be particularly focusing on our Dogs of Hope program, because that's the one close to my heart. So we're hoping I'm going to know how to use this. Right,
right arrow.
Excellent. So at Hope for Our Children, our mission is simple but powerful: to improve the lives of vulnerable children and young people in our community. We believe every child deserves to feel safe, valued, and seen, and we are committed to walking alongside vulnerable children and the people who care for them, offering practical support, community connection, and real hope. Our values are grounded in compassion, dignity, partnership, and action. We step in where systems fall short, because we know that a lot of systems don't really see the people, sadly. We do the work that matters, often quietly, but always with heart. I thought I'd ask, how many people have heard of Hope for Our Children? Yeah, it's a good number here, because I think...
We had Simone and Nadine.
Yeah, Nadine, back in the day. We've had quite a few changes since then, but yeah, it's been around for a while, but we are quite small. So, next slide. So I'll just run through our key programs that we have. First of all, we have Bags of Hope, which used to be called our backpack program. We've changed the names a lot over the last 12 or 18 months. So the Bags of Hope program provides essential and comfort items to children entering the foster care system, helping restore a sense of dignity during a frightening time. Because often those kids just have a garbage bag, if that, and often no belongings at all. So our backpacks, or Bags of Hope, because we do have them filled with all sorts of bits and pieces, and they're age specific as well. So we've got baby ones right up to 17-year-olds. And in those older ones, we actually have a booklet that helps them adult, because they don't have the skills to understand how to get, hey, I do tax, so a tax file number, or open a bank account. So it's really, really important to give them some of those information and skills. So another program we have that runs quietly on the side is Carer Support. So that's walking alongside foster and kinship carers through connection and practical help. That is a group that meets really regularly in a coffee shop, just quietly. I personally don't have a lot of information on that one. But yeah, they continue to support each other, because fostering is a pretty full-on calling. We also have recently partnered with Kath Dixon Family Centre and run a playgroup in our new facility at 2 Lawrence Street. And that was focused at foster families, but we're now getting lots of families to it. So that's really lovely that it's being opened up. And of course, our Dogs of Hope program, which I thought I'd bring a live video for this one, not all the other things. So let's go on to where I'm up to. Yeah, so Dogs of Hope. This is the one close to my heart and the one that I oversee for Hope for Our Children. So that's what we'll be talking about mainly today. So it's a program that brings therapy dogs into some of the most emotionally intense environments a child can experience. At the moment, we are in the base's hospital emergency ward, the pediatric unit, and the youth mental health inpatient unit. So that's different to a lot of mental health units. It's the inpatient one, where not many people are allowed to go. So we feel pretty privileged that we can get to take our dogs in there and shine a light. So maybe you guys might remember the fear and uncertainty of being in hospital. Does anyone remember that as a child? Did anyone have to go to hospital and it was pretty scary? Yeah. Or watching a person you love go through that experience. Now, picture that moment and beside them, a Desi dog. A calm, gentle dog, simply lying nearby, radiating reassurance and warmth. Our dogs are carefully selected for their resilient character, confident yet gentle, intuitive nature. They're trained to work with confidence and calm in clinical settings, and hopefully in some others soon. They're not a gimmick or a distraction. They are a therapeutic presence, offering emotional support, connection, and comfort when it's most needed. In the emergency department, our dogs can de-escalate distress. Desi and I have had the privilege of lying with a young boy who had just come in from a playground accident with a suspected fracture. And he was sucking on that whistle like like there was no tomorrow. And I asked if they would, whether they'd like a visit with Odessa. And yep, he was up for it. And thankfully, I can trust Odessa to not paw at where he is sore or in pain and to lie next to him on the bed. And he stopped blowing that whistle or sucking the pain whistle. And it was such a beautiful interaction to see him go from really quite distressed and shock to just relaxed and ready for, because he had not yet had scans or anything to confirm the break. But it was just a beautiful moment. And the staff also love it because they obviously don't have kids that are getting heightened in their distress. So they love it when we can get in there and help just calm everything down. And in the youth mental health inpatient unit, it might be the first living thing that a young person trusts enough to touch. Mm-hmm. So these are kids that are struggling in the community. Their mental health is really struggling. This is a last resort for these kids. And so we get to go into their, basically their lounge room, and hang out with them, sometimes for half an hour. One of our dogs, we have a Alaskan Malamute. He is 70 kilos. He is a huge unit. Gorgeous dog. His name's Sam. And they hung out there for a good couple of hours just hanging out with the kids just a week or so ago. And it was just lovely to hear back how those interactions to just bring some joy and hope into those kids' days, because they, you know, it can be pretty stark, it can be scary in there, and yeah, I don't know, I can't say too much else about that place. It's
not a good place.
Yeah, it's great to bring light and hope and joy with our dogs. And the last place we go in the hospital is the PEDS unit. So everyone loves the dogs there. We've been going, visiting there for a good 5 or 6 years now. And they help to bring calm, connection and a reason to smile, even on the hardest days. We've had kids there, in pain and everything as well, or just not wanting to have procedures done. Odessa's been called in to help with a cannula insertion for a young teen who needed the treatment. And was petrified of having the cannula insertion. And Odessa was able to just help her calm down and let that happen. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. These dogs don't need words. They don't analyze or advise. They simply show up fully, gently, and lovingly with hope and joy. And the impact ripples out, as you can probably imagine. It's not just the children who benefit. We hear it every visit from the nurses, the doctors, the wardies, the allied health professionals, the cleaners, the admin teams. It's usually a ripple effect when we're walking through the hospital, going to our place, most of the hospital understands that we're there for kids. So you often get to wherever you're going and they go, oh, I heard you were here today. So the ripple effect has come. Or with some places like, and us doctor has kind of gone, oh, I'll just quickly duck into there and so I can see the dog as well. So it's pretty cool. So, yeah, when the dogs are on warm, you can tell something shifts. It just brings the stress down, whatever's going on in the day, it softens, the smiles appear, and it's like a big breath has been taken. So this program is supported by research. Yes, there is a lot of research going into therapy dogs. It's fairly new, the research. We aren't personally doing the research. We're too little to invest in that, but there is a lot of research happening by universities, particularly in Melbourne, and they are doing a lot of testing on the change in a person from before they met the dog to after they met the dog. So it's pretty powerful, and often supported by feedback, such as this dog was the first thing that made me feel safe in a long time. I forgot I was scared, and this one happens a lot. This is just what I needed today. I even heard someone say that today here. Heard someone mumble it to Desi as they were giving her a pat. So, what else? Yeah, I'm going to do a plug. So, continue this life-changing work. We need your support. If you're sitting here thinking, my dog has a quiet, steady nature, I would love to hear from you. Always looking to grow our numbers of therapy dog handler teams, or if you know of anyone else that might like them. Don't need to be an expert. As you can see today, Odessa's not a perfectly obedient dog, and I don't expect her to be obedient.
Pretty good. She's pretty good.
She has been trained, and there's a lot of, there is work in those early days and years of her life. However, she doesn't have to be perfect, because we are talking about therapy dogs, not assistance dogs. So I'll quickly just talk about that, I think. Assistance dogs are trained for that particular person, and they are expected. They have to pass a public access test. Our therapy dogs don't have to pass a public access test, which means they're only allowed to go to places that they're invited to go. Assistance dogs, are trained to work with one person, and some therapy dogs are trained to work with one person. Our dogs, I like to call, are community therapy dogs. They are trained to love on basically everyone, obviously children, for Hope for Our Children, but that's the purpose of them. So they need to enjoy pats, because lots of dogs actually don't like being patted. Did you guys know that? Yeah, lots of dogs don't like that interaction, so they need to enjoy that. And I don't know if you've noticed, Odessa actually seeks it out quite a bit. Even while I was sitting here earlier, she was getting under my hand, putting her head under my hand so that I would pat her. So, but, yeah, you don't need to be an expert. We offer a thoughtful, supportive process for assessment, training and guidance. It starts with curiosity and also a desire to want to do it. And if you think that your dog might be suitable or you'd like to do it, we'd love to explore that journey with you. And at Hope for Our Children, we're committed to making sure no child walks through crisis alone. It's pretty cool, whether it's with a backpack filled with essentials or a dog quietly sitting beside them. We show up with hope, connection and love that doesn't judge. With your help, and maybe your dog's, we can keep showing up with courage, with care, one paw at a time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I did. Hi. There's all our symbols. Is there any questions?
I was going to ask if you could take questions.
Okay, yeah, I'm happy to take questions. I like interaction. Yes. Sorry, I don't know names, so please just call.
What if you don't have a dog?
Yeah. We could probably get you in somewhere else. We do need the dogs. Yeah. Yes.
What does the training of them involve? How do you train them?
So that's a process. Yes. Yeah. So we like to start them young. So I actually got Odessa, I would consider old. I got her at 5 months old, which is past 5 months old, which is actually past the best window for training.
Really?
The best window for training dogs is two to 4 months.
Gee.
So as soon as you get onto them, as soon as you get a dog, most people get dogs about 8 weeks. Yeah. The best time to train them is that 2 to 4 months. Particularly for therapy work, because that's the time where they talk a lot about socialisation. And socialisation isn't socialising them with the dogs, it's actually making them really comfortable with the world. So it's taking them to as many different places, getting them to walk on lots of different surfaces. So like today, Odessa, because she's been trained a bit, she's not worried about walking on the road or the pebbly tiles, obviously carpet, like carpet's fine, she lives in our house. But just those different surfaces, dogs are really sensitive to those. So training them to understand, obviously with a hospital environment, I had her in there not working, but I actually popped her in a baby sling the very first time I took her in so she could hear the sounds, because I wanted her to be used to all of those funny sounds in the hospital, the beeping, the food carts, the crying. There's lots of calling out, crying. So just lots of different sounds. This is an example. In the emergency unit, we only started working there beginning of last year, and they bring prisoners in there. And a prisoner came in shackled. And Odessa had never heard that sound, and she was quite startled. But thankfully, she trusts me, and she just looked, and she was a bit shocked, but then she calmed down again because I was right there. So that's what I want in a dog-handler relationship. The dog may not be used to something, but they trust the person to be able to go, okay, this will be okay. The 2 to 4 months is a critical training stage. I didn't fully answer your question. We like to go up to what we call dog obedience class level. There's some good puppy schools around. So we work with some and we take them up to that dog obedience, because they're used to then long lead work. They're used to, and it's also very good for that bonding process between the handler and the dog. And then of course it's just making sure the handler is okay with what they're going to come up with. We try and make sure that we equip our handlers with what they might see or might experience while working. So, did that answer the question? Okay. But training is always kind of ongoing. At the moment, Odessa is pregnant, so she's not working. She's been mated. We have her on loan from Cyderfield's Labradoodles. So she had a litter of puppies last year, and she's pregnant. Well, they expect she's pregnant. She was mated a few weeks ago, so can't confirm it yet. But she's acting pregnant, I will say that. It's true. They get morning sickness. And she also gets very antsy. So I'm letting her get away with a lot more than what she would have if she wasn't.
Pretty good.
She gets quite protective, so she gets much more barky at home. So she's acting pregnant to me. Yeah.
How old is she?
She is 3.5. But I expect I'll be able to work with her until probably a dog her size should live till about 14, 15. So I'd be expecting I'd be able to work with her for 10 to, till she's 10 to 12, depending on her health. But once you get up into that sort of 8-year-old, you need to be making sure that they're vet checked really quick, often, and ensure that they are up to it. And if she ever showed signs that she didn't want to work, then I would retire her or just work her more, like less regularly.
Is that a good breed? Is there certain breeds that are out, you know?
Well, I would love to take a Rottweiler in, but I think most people wouldn't want to greet the Rottweiler. But they're one of the loveliest, most loving breeds, if they could be trained. So perception is a big, big issue for that. So, currently we have on board Odessa, the Alaskan Malamute, and a Golden Retriever that are currently working. So all breeds that people love.
I was just thinking, because Boxers and Rotties are short-haired dogs and they shed, whereas these are nod shedders. But is it also because they're cuddly and that feel, you know, that sensory thing, you know, with
So Odessa's coat. We've had a number of Labradoodles on board in Hope for Our Children. Odessa's the only one left now. Odessa's coat is particularly soft. It's a big comment all the time. Oh, my word, she's so soft. And even kids that aren't really keen to pat her, often they will just reach out and touch, like, her, the back and go, oh, wow.
Cuddly.
So, yeah, she has a particularly lovely coat, but that's not guaranteed with this breed. Yeah. It really depends. So there was another question at the back somewhere.
I was asking, but I think Judy might have asked you about... this breed, the
crops,
they don't lose their hair. But what about dogs that lose their fur all the time? They really wouldn't be wanted in a hospital or anything, would they?
Well, I've been amazed with that, because our Golden Retriever and Alaska Malamute, they make a mess. I'm amazed.
Gee,
but they are welcome with open arms.
Surprising.
They really love them. Yeah. So I think they're willing to forego that. The hospital has particularly seen the benefit of the dog rather than... the hair issue. I think they sort of feel like it's, you know, the dog's going clean. They have to be clean. I think they've just seen the value. And on the, I'll just make a comment. My last Labradoodle, who was a standard size black boy, he was about this big. He did shed. So these dogs do shed. It just depends. Odessa actually doesn't. But many, many Labradoodles do shed.
Yes, a mix, depending on the mix.
It depends on, how much the breeders have got. Yes.
Poo.
So, yes.
How much poo they got in.
Do you go into just the one hospital or various hospitals, and do they call you, or how does it work?
So at the moment we're just going into the base. I'd love to get more people on board. Because we would love to be able to service the court again. We were in the court doing children's court, but we just don't have the volunteers in the group at the moment. At this point, it's volunteer, and we ask our volunteers to visit once a fortnight. So I kind of coordinate that to make sure we're not all there at the same time. So it's just volunteer. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned that she barks at home. Do you have to train her not to bark when she goes into hospital?
I never did have to train her. So that's something that I've done probably differently. We live with the dogs. Obviously, they're inside our house. Like, even our Rottweilers in our house. So there is a certain amount of training that I have, so I call it house manners for our dogs. When I started training these dogs, I saw how much it took out of them, a working session. So once I realised that, I actually relaxed the rules at home for them. So I expect them to behave and obey my rules in the house, but I was more lenient on their natural dog behaviours. If she's barking for no reason, yes, that is not something that we would allow. But if she's doing a warning bark, like this morning the door blew open and she gave a bark, because that door doesn't generally open without a person walking through it. But she just gave that one bark and that was it. I was happy with that. 'Cause we also have my young adult daughter living with us who has... some mental health things going on at the moment. So I actually would prefer our dogs to give a bit of a bark, just for also safety.
A watchdog. You know, you want them to they hear the gate click, our little dog barks.
So, yes, I want them to communicate. I don't want them to bark incessantly, though. I wouldn't ever allow that.
Yeah.
I never had to teach her to not bark at work, though.
Okay.
That wasn't something. I think they're so stimulated with everything else that's going on at work. She may have given a frightened bark once.
I just wondered whether she speaks to people. You know, some dogs do.
Yes, yes. But no, she's not a talker.
Okay.
So, you know, some dogs will actually, that kind of talking. Yeah, no, she's not a talker.
Okay.
So a Rottweiler was. But,
there you go.
Hey.
What about separation anxiety? Did she suffer from that when you leave
them? Yeah, that's a huge issue with these dogs. Yeah. These Labradoodles, separation anxiety is a huge issue. She's an interesting one. She will occasionally. She also doesn't have a huge amount of time and opportunity to get it because my daughter is home a lot. So when I'm at work, she's at home with Odessa. She also does come to work with me at sometimes. But that's part of the training as well. I want my dog to be okay at home. So that's also understanding what kind of gets your dog going. So when I leave my dog in the morning, if I know I'm going to be gone all day, like a 6-7-8 hour day, which isn't common, but yeah, a couple of my work days can be that length. I know for Odessa that taking her for a walk in the morning and putting her on harness and allowing her to walk and wander and sniff, that is a lot of mental stimulation for her as well as the physical walking. That means she's going to chill a lot of the day. She has breakfast when we get home. That means she's going to be chill, which means she doesn't have as much time to think about the fact that mum's not here. She's doing better the older she gets. Yeah. So occasionally we see anxious behaviour from her, but it's less often than what it was. And we did lose our Rottweiler at the end of last year, so that was obviously a difficult time for Odessa as well as all of us, because she was very bonded with our Rottweiler. So she's taken some time to get used to life as a single dog. Which sounds odd, but anyway, it is what it is. But, yes. Any other questions?
She's looking for a pet now.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
How are we going for time, Jude?
No, 25 past.
Jude has to go. Okay.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Has everybody met her?
I don't know, does anyone want to meet her? This is also, no one asked me about this, but I will just answer this. This is like my, is everyone okay if I just leave it in the room?
Yes.
This is like a doggy nappy bag, basically. So I'll do a quick show. So it's for me as well, my phone. Thank you. I've got business cards. I've also got stickers. So we give stickers out to our kids.
Oh, yeah.
Get them out. Carry my blue card.
Mm-hmm.
What else? But for Desi, I don't think I've got any treats in here because she's a bit old. I do have a few.
Oh, that's another thing.
I expect her to work.
You'd need a blue card if you volunteered.
Blue card. I didn't say that, but blue card is one of those things,
you
yes.
Have to have, yeah.
Yes, that's
so
right.
They're my glasses. A water bottle for the Desi dog.
Oh.
Her own little water bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. Never seen that.
Yeah. Washer, because they can get wet, because we've got to go outside in the hospital, and they can get really wet in the rain. Of course, poop bags.
Oh, yeah.
Extra lead in case the lead breaks. I don't want to be without a lead. I've actually got a chew toy in here too. And one of the most important things when we're in the hospital, hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to get everyone to clean their hands before and after they've patted Desi.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So my own doggy nappy bag.
Doggy bag, I should call it.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Liz. That has been really, really good, hasn't it, girls?
Yes, yeah, very good.
And you know the money that goes into the container that you put in every week. Well, we are going to bless Hope for Our Children Judy will make sure she forwards some money to that. And, yes, oh,